And now, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio here in Chicago, Illinois, here she is, Patty Vasquez.
This is a One Girl Revolution. Susan Danenberger is joining me for this Friday night. Welcome to Pretty Late, everybody. Hope that you are happy, healthy, and safe wherever you are. If you're traveling, please be careful on the roads. If you're at home in bed, you know, maybe we'll lull you to sleep. Maybe we'll keep you awake. I don't know. Either way, if you find that you can't listen to the entire show, don't forget everything is podcast on iTunes. You can find everything on Patty V Show on Facebook. And I'm so thrilled to see Susan Danenberger again. You were here earlier for Rokon's show for the Carnarvon Wagon, and you rolled right through to my show.
This is fun. It's just girl power tonight.
It really is. Where did you end up going for? Did you go for oysters?
I did. I tried to get in a couple places, and they were booked up, so I just went to McCormick and Schmidt.
Oh, I like McCormick and Schmidt's.
Yeah, I had three different types of oysters. They were great.
I went for oysters last night, and it's not for everybody. You know, oysters are not for everybody. There are some places that do it so incredibly well.
I like it with horseradish.
So do I. I like it with all of it. I like a little bit of the tartar sauce, a little bit of the horseradish.
A little vinegar.
And, well, the lemon juice. A little bit of the lemon juice, too. And so, okay. So when you're in a restaurant, what do you... Because I had a white wine. I'm not a big white wine drinker, but so I always trust the servers on that one. You know that I traditionally like red wines, and they're usually very good about pairing that with me with the oysters. What do you have with oysters?
Bubbly. I always have bubbly.
You always have bubbly.
Yeah.
So would you go like a sweet bubbly? You wouldn't go Prosecco or Moscato, would you? Riesling.
No, I did a dry brut.
A dry brut.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Perfect.
It was perfect. Do you remember the types of oysters that you had?
One was a Delaware Bay, and I can't remember what the other two were, but they were, I just did all three kinds, just give me a mix.
I never keep track of some of that the next time. And for those of you who don't like oysters, and it sounds like it's disgusting, there's something for everybody. We are hanging out with Susan Danenberger, who is the winemaker extraordinaire, our very own Illinoisan winemaker, Danenberger Family Vineyards in New Berlin at 12341 Irish Road, right there. It's near Springfield. So you can make a whole weekend of it. You can make a whole trip, go down there, learn
Lincoln
some
sights and...
Well, you know, plus the 200th anniversary of Illinois.
Bicentennial's coming up. I'm really excited. We're part of it. I'm very excited.
What part are you guys playing in this?
We have a rosé that's going to have a bicentennial sticker on it, and then we're on it a couple other... The rollout party in January. We're pouring wines there, so I'm pretty excited.
Okay, I'm coming for the rollout party.
Oh, you are?
That's what I'm going to do.
January 23rd.
Okay, whatever it is, I'm coming. All right.
Capital.
Done. All right, I have a reason to go. I've been trying to find a landing spot for going to Springfield for the rollout party. Sounds exactly like the time I should be going.
We'll be there.
It is exciting. And then you've lived your entire life. Your family is five generations in Illinois?
Yes. So we've been there since almost the beginning of Illinois, I guess.
That's remarkable. Have you ever done, like, traced your family lineage?
I've just been working on it because I signed up for the, you know, DNA ancestry thing. So I've been trying to...
Did you swab?
I just got it, and I'm just sending it back, and I ordered it for my kids. Oops, sorry, messed up their Christmas present.
Oh, no!
No, they're in their 20s. They don't care. We're going to all trace it back and figure it all out, yeah.
You know what, DNA... See, I've been trying to decide about doing one of those, and DNA Ancestry is the one I've been leaning toward, and it's remarkable and interesting about what they can trace back, you know, where your family has kind of traveled around the world, some of the other markers, people that you might be related to. Do you know that people have found, like, siblings they didn't even know existed?
That's what I'm hoping, because I'm adopted, so I thought that would be really cool if I could find... So one of my sons I got 23andMe, and the other one I did Ancestry. I thought we'd just see which one worked better and figure it out.
and I've seen comparison studies of that, like people who've done both, and it seems like a little bit of everything. Like, there, it depends on what you're looking for, so I'm excited to see how that turns out.
Me too.
I have a friend who found out that he had a brother he didn't know existed.
that his parents had given up a baby for adoption. So yeah, this is...
It's like a soap opera.
It opens up a whole new world. Well, speaking of soap operas, we have a show to talk about when we come back. Oh. I don't know if it's soap opera-y. I don't know. It's. I'm curious to see what you think, because...
It goes well with tonight since it's all girl power.
It is all... Well, we're going to bring Elliot in. So yeah. I don't know how Elliot's going to feel about it. He assigned this one. He gave us choices. I was on the fence about watching the series Godless, and Elliot gave it to us as an option last week. And so that put me squarely in the on the side of watching it. So I want to see what you thought, because this is the one series I would say has had the most wide range of reviews. Of all the shows that we've watched, I'd say everything has been positively reviewed. We've watched Orange is the New Black and Glow, The Punisher. All those series have been well received.
Ozark. That was fantastic.
Outstanding series. I think that this series is the most debatable as far as how good it is. Mm-hmm. And so I want to see what you think. So if anyone has watched the series Godless, we'd love to hear from you
yes,
as well.
Yes, I want
to
hear.
And find out what Susan has paired with the series Godless. It's a series on Netflix. It is a Western. There are a lot of horses. There's so many horses. There's so much with the horse. I learned a lot about horse history, as a matter of fact. Jeff Daniels is like teaching me stuff. I'm like Googling. I'm like, is that a real person? Oh, it is. More after this on 720 WGN. If you do want to join us, 312-981-7200. Again, the number is 312-981-7200. You can call or text us. Please jump in. Thank you so much for joining us pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in our Allstate Showcase studio on Michigan Avenue. Great to see people walking down the street, enjoying the... It's a crisp, cool night, but it's still beautiful in Chicago. All the lights are aglow. Susan Dannenberger, our amazing winemaker from Dannenberger Family Vineyards, joins us in studio. And I'm so sorry that our good friend, Elliot Serrano, is not in studio. He is the mastermind. Mastermind!
Yes.
I have not yet said mastermind, Elliot. Behind our regular new feature, Binge and Uncork. By the way, Elliot, Steve has decided that it is Binge and Uncork.
Well, that works. Binge
because,
and Uncork is fine.
My husband has decided it this reason. He said, because if you uncork and binge, it sounds like you're binging on what you uncorked. Right?
Well, I thought that would be kind of like, let's leave it open to interpretation, but that's fine.
But my husband's very literal, because if you uncork first, then you're just binging on what you uncorked.
Yep.
Yes, that all works out. Yep. Elliot, do you want to share with listeners why you're not in studio with us tonight?
First, I didn't want to get Susan sick, because I've been sick all week. It's been a hard. It's not been a very good week for me.
Aww.
And then and I think that's the other reason why I didn't make it into the party this morning at WGN. The gods just wanted to keep me away from everyone. It's like every time something special is going on in the studio there, I have some sort of incident on the expressway.
Elliot, do you want to tell Susan what the one of the first one was? One of the first tire incidents. Go ahead.
Oh, there's a
yeah. There were some
tilted kilt.
Tilted kilt servers there. Yeah. I was told were very attractive and were there. We're looking forward to meeting me. And of course, my tire blew out on the way in that day. And today, of all days, I hit someone dropped a muffler in the middle of the Eisenhower Expressway, and in swerving to hit it, I clipped it and I blew out my tire, another tire.
Oh, man.
Fun.
I'm so sorry, Elliot. You were missed today. What you did not miss was, and I mean, this was a lot of fun. I don't know if you know about this, Susan, but for our holiday party, they had us do a scavenger hunt. Do you know about this?
Mm-hmm.
We were sent on a scavenger hunt throughout the building, which actually was brilliant because we are leaving the building. So it was a wonderful way to learn more about maybe the parts of it we didn't know yet, and we have only another 4 or 5 months here.
Last time to see them.
Yeah. So we were running around. I mean, I was full out galloping down the loading dock to get a picture of...
In your velvet dress?
In my velvet dress to get a picture of the fan van. We were getting pictures of, you know, bricks from Wrigley Field on the outside of the building and sleighs and taking pictures with... Elliot, there was a moment where we were... I'm not kidding you. We were banned from Howls and Hood because so many groups from WGN were running into Howls and Hood and taking selfies. One of the items on the list was to take a selfie with customers eating and drinking at Howls and Hood. Oh. Well, of course, that's annoying. So, yes, Elliot, we were banned. We were the group that was banned. So, yeah, we had to be creative with that.
I would not have had fun. I probably would not have been very fun either. So,
well, I was. I should not have done the. I should not have done it. It was fun to see what I could accomplish in the building. They were like, if someone knows a building really well, they'll do great at this. So, but you were missed, and Wayne Baker Brooks and I missed you dearly. It was a wonderful conversation about Christmas and. Susan and I were talking about this for a moment, and we have plenty of time if you don't mind, Elliot. You know, one of the things that we talked about this morning as part of the spectacular, it was a big celebration. There were a lot of really fun, you know, bigger than life elements to it, and songs, and you know, a lot of cheer. And I wanted to talk a little bit about being able to embrace the sadness sometimes of Christmas and how you find peace at Christmas time. And that was kind of a little bit what we were going to do today, which sounds sad, but I think it was for me it was important to do. So I wish that you'd been there, but maybe, you know, also we were to be honest with you, Elliot, we were the sad sacks of the show. Just like I was.
Goodness.
No, you probably would have been the lighter element to that. But at any rate.
Hey, I'll bring some cheer to the funeral. Sure.
Exactly. Get over yourselves, people. So, Elliot, remind listeners of what series you assigned Susan for the binge and the Uncork and Binge.
Binge and Uncork.
Well, binge and Uncork, yes. Thank you.
Binge and Uncork, because I guess I just don't like the idea of Susan just laughing. I want her to be depressed and sad. I said, Let's throw godless at her, because the last one I threw at you wasn't violent enough in The Punisher.
Right. Well, that's why I broke it up with Glow. I stepped in and I was like, watch women wrestling for once. So that was, it was actually two girl power series back to back a little bit.
Yes, it was. You're right. Lots of women being strong and taking charge.
Exactly. Elliot, now have you seen any of Godless?
Only the first episode.
Okay.
That's another one.
So
well, here's the thing now. I've decided I'm going to wait until
fair.
Susan gives me the... Well, no, I'm going to wait until you give me the pairing that goes with it. That way I can watch it. And
okay.
Enjoy it.
I watched every single episode, and I will go back with your pairing and watch it again. I have no problem doing
that. I saw what you were pairing.
Yes,
it
may
was
have.
A good choice.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I can't remember what kind of bourbon it was, but it was enjoyable.
It seems appropriate.
Oh, it was Temptation bourbon. So that which seemed perfect for Godless.
Is the perfect one.
Yes. So Elliot, so you picked Godless, and so for those who are catching up with this new segment on our show, which is my favorite segment of this show now, we do Uncork and Binge. Nope. Binge and Uncork, because you watch it. There's a series you want to watch. What goes well with that? What wine should you be drinking to that show? And there are, you know, people have, you know, they pair wine with their steaks or with their chocolates, with their all different elements.
With their cupcakes.
You've even mentioned someone who pairs wine with music.
Yes, there's a big, big thing going on in California. They're doing that a lot.
So we've decided that there is definitely a mood to be felt and set with perhaps pairing a wine with a series you might be watching on Netflix or Amazon or maybe a broadcast show. We haven't veered much from Netflix yet. We have to get off. I'll have to figure out. I'll have to figure out a series to do because I it's so easy, I guess. That's why.
Yeah, Amazon has a lot of series too.
Maybe you have one that you know of that you're interested in. We can do that.
I have a bunch on my list.
And now that I've talked so much about it, we have to take a break. We have to tease and let you know what we thought of the series and which wine goes with Godless, which I'll let you know what I thought afterwards. No one's gonna be surprised at what I thought of the series. It's a bunch of women with guns. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. So thrilled to be hanging out with Susan Dannenberger from Dannenberger Family Vineyards. She's an incredible winemaker. On the line with us, one of my best friends, Elliot Serrano. Hi, Elliot. I'm so sad that you're not in the studio with us. Hello.
Trust me, I wish I were there right now.
We are enjoying a glass of wine in your name. We've actually named it, even though it has its own name on the bottle, we're naming our individual glasses Elliot after you.
I know whenever Susan's there, that means there's wine there, which means I should be there.
Cheers. Cheers, Elliot. For everybody else who's not in studio hanging out with us, go to DannenbergerFamilyVineyards.com, and you can see all the great wines they have there. You can also find out about the performances coming up in the space she has there. And because she is a winemaker, she can help you out with your wine questions. That's why Joe has called. Hey, Joe, how are you doing tonight?
Good, kiddo. Hey, listen, I think, excuse me, called in about 3 years ago when you used to have a wine specialist, if you will, probably once or twice a month. I have little confidence that your guest will be able to answer this question, but the wine I'm looking for is something, it's probably from Portugal or Spain, if you will. It's almost like a sweet cordial, and on the label, I recall, haven't had it for quite some years now, 5 escudos. If that's any help, if you will.
5 escudos.
Yeah, sounds Spanish to me.
A Portugal 5 escudos. Oh, so that's a coin, right? So it's a world coin price guide. Okay, so that's a Portuguese. So it does sound like it would be a Portuguese wine. Hold on a second. We're working on this, Joe. We will crack this nut for you. I know that had to have been Joseph Giannini who you're talking about, who is a friend of mine who owns wine shops here in Chicago.
Let's call him.
No, I don't think he wasn't able to find that either, right? There's a couple of wines. There's a Scudo. Now, is it, you said it was like a sweet wine, right? A sweet, like almost,
yeah,
like a port.
Yeah, almost like a cordial. Yeah.
Sweet. Hold on a second. We can piece this together. We'll figure this out.
Super.
It's probably more like a dessert. It was like a dessert wine, wasn't it?
Yes.
Very, very deep, and it was probably fortified as well.
Very viscous. Very thick.
I know. Oh, viscous. Now, are you using that word? Because I used that earlier this month when my son Griffin told me that I made something. Elliot, what was it that I made? He said it was viscous.
It was the sauce that was supposed to go on the turkey. Remember? More viscous.
Yes. Supposed to be more viscous. Yes. Let's see. I'm actually just buying time right now, Joe, trying to crack this nut for you. There's something called a Scudo Real wine, but that sounds like there's a Scudo Real, that there's some, there's a brand called a Scudo, but there's a Blanco. I'm not finding like a port or a cordial the way that you're talking about it. We will try to do more research on this.
Okay.
All right. But we're on the case now, Joe.
Superb.
All right.
Appreciate it, kiddo.
All right. My pleasure, Joe. Have a great holiday season, okay? Merry Christmas.
Auf Wiedersehen. Same to you.
Auf Wiedersehen. So we have, off the air, Elliot, been talking about Godless and our sort of back and forth about whether or not this is a great series, a good series, could have been better, kind of a thing, which made me realize the conversation that we're having has been more detailed than any other series that we've talked about before. And I think partly because it had a lot of potential. Elliot, what did you think of the first of all, Elliot, maybe if you want to, since you've only seen the pilot and we've seen the whole thing, maybe the pilot is the best thing to surmise, to sort of give summation of. How would you describe the first episode of Godless?
Well, I mean, to me, I guess the reason I even got into Godless is I had just gotten off of Westworld, which was the Western themed. And why Godless is getting so much attention is because of its, you know, really the very feminist overtone, you know, feminist themes of it. Town that is essentially run by women. Why? Because the men in the town... we're all killed in a mining accident. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a mining town. So they pretty much have to fend for themselves and deal with what's going on in the frontier. And it leaves a lot of discussions like how different would society be if women were in charge? And, you know, I mean, again, I only saw the first one. I'm thinking if women can shoot as well as men...
Well, there is one character who's a remarkable marksman, and that's a character named Mary Agnes, played by Merritt Weaver, who I love from the series Nurse Jackie. She's the overly eager, very pert nurse who bugs the living bejesus out of Nurse Jackie, if anyone remembers. And in this series,
I'd forgotten she was in that.
Yeah. Oh, she won an, I don't know if she won an Emmy or Golden Globe, but she's won awards playing that role. And in this role, she is equally. She completely disappears in the role. The actress becomes that person. You believe that she can shoot, you know, she can shoot from where, however far away, that she can outshoot Whitey
in a dress.
She's the one that wears.
Oh, that's right. She wears big culottes, doesn't she?
Yeah,
right.
she wears pants the whole. Yeah, her brother mm-hmm. says you look ridiculous dressed like that. But Merritt Weaver is one of my is now become one of my favorite actresses on the planet. She's incredible in this. So, So the first episode is kind of like that. The only thing, and I think that we didn't even talk about this off the air, Susan, is that we actually spend so much time on Griffin and Good mm-hmm. that you're like, oh, these guys again sometimes.
Yeah, it's just concentrated on them all the time.
Because Jeff Daniels plays the antagonist in this, and he travels with he's basically a cult leader.
Yeah, everyone loves him. They think he's fantastic.
Anyway,
he saved all of them from something.
And here's the thing, Elliot, is that there are a lot of weaknesses to this series, but I think that the moments that are done so well stick out and are sort of create an image that are almost emblazoned in my soul. The house where all the people with smallpox come.
Yes,
there are moments like the when they're pulling all the bodies out of the mine. Mm-hmm. When the women are in where they're, you know, when the shootout happens, all those things are so, compared to any other series that I've watched, those things stand out for me so starkly. That's what defines the series for me. I just wish everything else around it had been, you know, had not been so tiresome.
Yeah, and I love how the cinematography wasn't like bright. I mean, it was kind of dulled down a little. It was a little
absolutely
almost toward a sepia tone.
Yes,
but still had some color, and it kind of made you feel like a little off kilter. You're like, what's wrong with this picture? But it also made sense. It was good.
Yeah, there were moments that were like that were almost dreamlike. So I enjoyed this a lot, Elliot. So I hope that you enjoy the rest of the series when you get a chance to watch it. I'm going to tease again. We have to take a break to find out which wine goes with this incredible series on Netflix. And again, if you watch it and you're like, I hate it, I would not be surprised, because this has been largely debated online. A lot of people do not like the series. Other people hate it. Other people love it. Other people are kind of meh. I like it a lot. I would not strongly recommend it, but I would recommend it. Does that make sense, Susan?
Oh yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I think that I could see not enjoying it, Elliot. That's all I'm saying. So, what did you think from the first episode, Elliot? Do you think that you would watch the rest of the series?
I definitely would watch the rest of the series. I mean, the premise itself was intrigued me enough. So, I mean, and you got to give it more than just one episode to make a judgment. Although everything you're saying right now about Godless, they're saying the same thing about The Last Jedi right now. So,
oh, really?
can't please everybody.
You can't please everybody. Look, every performance, there is not a weak performance in the series. I think it all has to do with the storytelling and with the amount of time they take doing it. And that's really what it comes down to, because the performances are incredible. All the details, whether it comes to the cinematography or the costuming and the, you know, the realness, the feel of it, the texture is wonderful. Let's find out what wine goes with this series when we come back on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. On the line, we have Elliot Serrano, the mastermind behind Binge and Uncork, and in studio, the extraordinary winemaker who has made this a segment possible, Susan Dannenberger of Dannenberger Family Vineyards. Go to DannenbergerFamilyVineyards.com for their entire schedule of upcoming performances, of their upcoming events, including the rollout for the bicentennial of the state of Illinois.
I know, it's so exciting.
We are going to be there. Elliot, road trip with me to Springfield, finally?
Definitely. If we're going to go to Dannenberger Wines, I'm all for that.
And then,
Wow. Is that lightning striking Elliot down? Hold on a second. What just happened there? Elliot refuses to go with me to Springfield because of all the politics out there. Let's see if we're better there. Elliot, does that mean you'll also go to the Capitol with me and watch the legislature at work?
Like I said, I'd love to go to Dannenberg Wine. I'm sure I can find like a cask somewhere I can sit in there and just drink while you're doing your other things.
Well, we can always bring a Bodo with us to the Capitol. I'm just saying. It's not like it's not done. No one ever knows what I mean by a Bodo.
A Bodo box.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Thank you, everybody. All right. So we've been talking about the series Godless, which was Elliot's assignment for Binge and Uncork. And so with not much more.
Well, so, as you know, I have this difficulty making up my mind with one wine, so I kind of taken it down to two wines. I brought one of them tonight. It's one of my library wines that we don't have on the tasting menu anymore.
What's a library wine?
A library wine is, it's, first of all, they're all 90 points or higher, and they aren't on our regular tasting menu. They're wines that we had such a limited quantity of that you can only get it if you're special or if you belong to the wine club.
What?
So it's Coup de Foudre, and it was my first wine that got like one of the biggest awards. You know, when I first started making big wines and the awards started and getting ratings, and so I was pretty excited. It's a really big, deep wine. It's got like some smoky characteristics. And the other wine that I had thought about was the Violette Femme. And it's super smoky, and I felt like with all the gun shooting and you almost needed something that felt deep and smoky and almost bourbon-like in a way. So that's
there you go. Yeah.
That wine to me it's grippy and kind of rich and thick, kind of like, you know, all the dirt blowing around there.
Yes.
Out in the countryside.
I can feel New Mexico in my throat.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. That's where the series is supposed to take place, is in New Mexico. The sort of wild, wild west of New Mexico after the Civil War.
West, but I wasn't sure where.
Elliot.
They probably mentioned it. I just didn't even.
Well, there's so many things that happened in the series. We didn't even talk about Blacktown, which were the Buffalo Soldiers, Elliot.
The Buffalo Soldiers,
Elliot, you don't even meet the Buffalo Soldiers in the first episode of Godless.
Yeah, it's like the third. I think.
No.
It's.
Okay, we have the wine, but I mean, of course, I brought this up with Punisher. I got to bring it up again. The snacks, though. What sort of snacks goes along? Remember, you said buttered popcorn last time. Which I was like, wow, okay. What snackage are we also consuming with our wine as we're watching these women gun down Jeff Daniels? And
I feel
else?
Like I'm ripping meat
I,
off of
I,
a. Off
I
of
literally a... was eating one of the times. I was, instead of sitting in, you know, in the kitchen eating, I was in my living room, and I had the plate on my lap, and Clayton had grilled some steaks, and so I was sitting there, I was cutting this, and there was no other vegetable on my plate.
I was thinking, it's just meat. It's like, I was going to say, like, ripping meat off a bone, like a rib or something. So you're just eating steak?
I'm embarrassed to say yes.
Why? Why are you?
A single piece of meat, nothing else on my plate.
No, I think you're absolutely right. It's just flesh. That's all you can eat while you're watching Godless is red meat.
Paleo, I see.
Yes. Yeah, paleo diet. There you go.
Definitely paleo. I mean, you can throw in some zucchini on that plate if you want, but not for nothing.
No edamame here.
No. And this wine would go perfectly with that, too. Oh, my. Yeah. She's not wrong. I mean, like, maybe a drumstick of some sort, but there's definitely some flesh that needs to be eaten while you're watching Godless.
I don't feel like there's a finger food you could eat with this. Like, no snack chip or anything that would work.
Unless it's like a poutine. What's Rob Martyrs from Canada, has lived in Canada, and they have that big, it's like gravy and meat and
maybe Funyuns. Maybe.
Ooh,
maybe
Funyuns.
You could do
Funyuns if you could dip them in something, yes. Yeah, it's definitely something hearty, Elliot, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, I just I'll go by the meat markets and pick up a T-bone or a ribeye. You know, have that ready.
It's a
Yeah, something it has to have.
I'm looking forward to seeing what you think of the rest of the series. Joe, do you have any interest in seeing the series that we have so, I think, sort of, I don't know.
We've beat cast a dead horse.
No. Well, we don't beat that dead horse, poor horses in this series. Joe, I don't know if we've made this sound good or terrible to people, but.
I know, that's true.
But I think that's fair. I think that it's fair. If you went online, you would read reviews that are similar to our discussion, where people kind of struggle with their opinion of this.
Love the characters. Just,
oh my God,
not putting them all together well enough.
Yeah. It's a lot mm-hmm. going on. Elliot, there's seriously a cult of 30 guys riding across the countryside who are bloodthirsty and crazy.
And they're not Indians.
Sounds like...
Yeah.
Oh, I thought they were libertarians. I'm sorry.
Wow. There you go, Elliot. Way to anger some of my audience. Joe, have we made this series seem appealing to you in any way whatsoever?
Yeah, I think it sounds interesting. It's just... things back up so much. The queue for, like, hey, watch this show.
I know. Women with guns, Joe. Yeah. Women with guns. And at one point, there's a woman riding through town naked.
Oh, yes.
And we still don't know why, Susan.
No.
Maybe it's going a little further up the list here. Yeah.
Yes. We don't know why she's naked.
A couple women have a nice relationship.
Yes, there's a
brothel.
Definitely a brothel. Yes.
All Westerns have to have that.
Yeah. Actually,
the women of the brothel are the ones with the money.
Well, that's an interesting moment that one of the ladies explains to Michelle Dockery, that they are often the richest women in town. She said, how do you think we paid for all those horses? Who do you think paid for
school?
For the buying the mine. Yeah. All that stuff. So it was,
bravo to those women.
I guess. I mean, she was very matter of fact about it. What was it, Elliot?
No, I was going to say, you're describing things that I don't want to see when I have a hot plate of steak on my lap.
So there is a really beautiful scene between the two women who have a romantic relationship. And the way that the woman who is a mistress or a saloon girl, mm-hmm. or the madam, the way she describes her love for Merritt Weaver is incredible. Like, I wish someone had said that to me, the way she
talking about the first time she saw her, and I should never forget her, and it was nice.
Yeah.
You're right.
It's so you could eat steak with that is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was very romantic.
I need to take notes as I'm watching this.
Elliot, let me take a quick break here. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening pretty late. So the wine for our Binge and Uncork segment tonight was, let me get it right, Coup de Foudre. No, really?
Mm-hmm.
Coup de Foudre?
Coup de Foudre.
Oh, all right.
It means strike of lightning.
Oh, see, that is perfect for Godless. Elliot, so is this limited... That is only in your library now?
Yes.
So I need to save some of this for Elliot, is what you're saying.
Oh, I'll have to send another bottle.
Okay, then. So you're saying I can finish
this? I did
this.
Bring a couple extras just for Christmas presents.
Thank you very much for that. What else did you bring?
I brought the newest. We haven't even released this yet. It's another Cabernet Franc. It's my Grand Vin. And so it's like when we're pressing the grapes, the juice that starts coming out when you're first pressing, it's called free run before you even press. And so I did a separate bottling with that, and it's usually when winemakers do that, it's usually the best of the best. And so I did a separate bottling of that for our 2015. And
I have some of that?
Yeah, I brought it for you. We haven't even released it.
That's for me and my husband, and maybe Elliot. Yeah. Elliot, for dinner at Christmas.
Ooh.
I'm just saying, yes.
And then I brought some Blanc, and then I have another one in my bag for you, so just... Have fun.
Well, thank
Relax.
You so much. So let's take some time off from making you binge anything.
Oh, dang.
We're off next week. I'm off next week. I am back the week after that. I don't know what day of the month that is. What's the Friday after next week? Today's the 15th. Next week's the 22nd. So the 29th, I am on the air. So I don't know if you want to, we can talk about it. Elliot, did you have any plans for the next one?
Well, no, I thought I'd hand off to you again before I give the season another bleak, depressing show to watch. Because, you know, I want everyone to be miserable like me, so, you know, I'll hand off to you. Go on ahead.
Paul, let me check in real quick with Rob Martier. Hey, Rob, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm running late for news, obviously.
That's right.
My question to you is, are there any series that you're watching or that you have watched that you think would be great for this segment?
I am watching Godless, so I will dive into that line.
You didn't come over and talk to us about it.
You know, I've got four kids. I've got things going on
up here.
Thank
you. All right. yes.
I'm trying to think. Geez, kind of put me on the spot.
I didn't mean to do that to you.
That's okay. That's okay.
Do the news and then tell us after.
Yeah, exactly. We could do that. All right. Let you do the news and then tell us after.
Sounds good.
Ish. I have Representative Kiffewick coming on to talk about veterans' homes and some important issues. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago, WGNRadio.com. You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Representative Kiffewit is going to join us in just a moment. But first, we have to get our assignment for our next Binge and Uncork segment. And Rob Martier gave me one off the air. Join us in the studio as well are Dave Lundy and Eric Elk. Susan Dannenberger, the extraordinary winemaker from Dannenberger Family Vineyards at 12341 Irish Road in New Berlin. And we'll be there for the unrolling for the
Bicentennial
coming up on in January 23rd. Mm-hmm. I'm road tripping. I don't know if the studio is
Elliot in. You better go.
Elliot's gonna be there, right, Elliot?
I will be there.
Excellent. I'm so excited. So Rob Martin, get back. Rob, I wasn't gonna ignore you, sir. Come back, sit down. There you go. Thank you very much.
I'm here.
Wow, that was a little authoritarian, wasn't it? Sit down, sir.
Got it.
You had a suggestion for our next Binge and Uncork.
The Netflix series Bloodline.
Bloodline.
That's really funny.
I didn't pick this one.
Well, and here's the thing. You know what's funny about it is that it's actually, there are some similarities, I would say, in a much more like there are undertones of Ozark of this. So the kind of the way it's shot, the family issues and stuff like that, not to the extent of, but yes, the tension of it, I think, is similar to Ozark in some ways. Excellent. Well done, Rob Martin.
I tried.
And what are your thoughts on Godless?
Mine?
Yes.
It's great.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Love it.
Wow. He doesn't even have any. He has no qualms about it.
Yeah. Girls and guns? It's right in my wheelhouse.
Boom. All right, Rob. Have a great weekend.
Take care, you guys.
Thank you so much. See you next week. On the line with us, can you hang out for a little bit? Elliot, do you want to hang on for this conversation or are you done for the night?
I can hang out.
All right,
it's just me and the cat right now.
So this is important. So I want to make sure that people are aware of this because I feel like this is a story that's not getting the attention that it deserves. Joining me on the line is Representative Stephanie Kiffewit, who texted me yesterday, and I was not on the air. So I apologize, Representative. How are you doing tonight?
Good. How are you doing?
We're doing all right. We're in the studio, and you know, it's a Friday night, and this is when people want to, like, you know, relax. But I also find that this is a time when people are open to hearing what's important as well. What is going on that people might not be aware of in the state of Illinois?
Well, the biggest thing that's going on is we've had several tragedies in our Quincy Veteran Home that seems to have been covered up, and now when we're getting the facts and we're getting the information, it just seems horrific, for lack of a better word.
Yeah. And this is a veteran's home in Quincy, Illinois. There's been an outbreak in several parts of the United States of Legionnaires' disease, but this is something where, you know, where people have died and we're not given all the information, and perhaps more people died because that was covered up. Is that right?
Well, that's what I believe. I mean, we had the outbreak in 2015. Then we had the governor come in and say that they had it under control. But now when we're hearing the details coming out through several lawsuits that have been filed from the families, it's almost mind-numbing that the governor is saying things are under control when the staff was grossly, like, not treating these people properly. And in fact, the worst thing is the report that there was a woman found in her unit badly decomposed after they told the family that she was fine. That's just disgusting.
Has anything like this happened in recent memory? I mean, Dave, Eric, can you think of anything that you've heard of in the news? Because there was a story that came out in the Chicago Tribune about group homes for individuals with developmental disabilities this year. And I kind of trip over that because I have a son who, if things don't go the way we hope they will, my son will end up in a home like that. And there was a young man who was beaten because he stole cookies. There were other people who were strapped to their beds and left in their own fecal matter. And these stories were also covered up in the state of Illinois in the last several years. And this is not blaming anybody in particular, but on the system that we have right now and how we take care of the people that we say we value, our veterans and our most vulnerable. And that includes our senior citizens, people with developmental disabilities, our youth. I mean, where do we go from here, Representative?
Well, I think the bottom line is we finally have a budget that was passed and balanced. So when individuals want to talk about the budget and cuts, what the state of Illinois normally does is we take care of the most vulnerable in the population. So what we are seeing is the dramatic effect from a budget impasse where money was not spent for proper staffing. Money's not. In fact, we have a veteran home that's not even under construction. It's in Chicago. It's 200 beds. It was started before Governor Rauner came to office. He canceled the construction and the budget impasse, and it still hasn't started yet. And so, you know, where is the motivation to do what's decent for the most vulnerable in our communities? And it's not coming from this administration.
Well, what we really have is a lack of urgency. You know, the situation with the Quincy Veterans Home is just so disgusting. It's so disturbing because it's clear that they were aware of the Legionnaires' disease. They didn't notify people. They let it go for days and days and days, and more people were probably infected.
It's not just days and days. It's saying in the story that there was an outbreak last year that killed 12 people and sickened 24. So, I mean, this isn't even something that's like days. They didn't do enough to make sure that the people who were saying they were safe this year.
Right. No, absolutely. I mean, this is, but let's, you know, not conflate a lot of issues here. You've got neglect.
Now I gotta look that up. Hold on a second.
I mean, you know, you've got neglect, and you've got cover-ups, and but you also, going back to the, Representative Kiffel was talking about with the veterans home, that was supposed to be built, that Pat Quinn had money that had been appropriated in the budget for, years before he left office, and it sat in the budget and just languished. They had a groundbreaking, and then nothing ever happened.
Including during the rest of his term. Right.
So Governor Quinn was, frankly, neglectful and lacked a sense of urgency on that front as well. And it's just, you know, it's about focus. It's about intentionality. It's about paying attention, as you say, to those that we supposedly value. And this is true whether it's the VA or whether it's here at home.
I'm writing down the word namby-pamby, but I'm just going to go ahead and say it. So,
why? Because I said Pat Quinn?
No, yeah, that's what I was going to say. Is that for me, Pat Quinn was a governor who had a lot of heart, but didn't seem to be able to execute. Like he had a lot on his plate. There was a lot coming out of the Blagojevich's indictment and obviously ultimate conviction, and what to do next with everything he had in his basket of crazy. But we didn't, it was none of it, nothing was, it seemed like nothing was resolved. I mean, am I wrong, Representative Kiffwit? I guess there was some pay down of the debt. We were moving in that direction, weren't we, at least?
Oh, well, yeah, we did a significant pay down of the debt. We were at a 30-day pay cycle right before Governor Rauner was sworn in. So we were on the road to getting things in order. And then with the budget impasse that lasted well over 2 years, our bills have doubled Blagojevich time. I mean, we're in the $16 billion in backlog of bills. That's just insurmountable. That coupled with the DCFS issues where you had children dying in homes, millions of dollars spent on this predictive software that didn't predict anything, along with shortages for developmental individuals, we're losing individuals because the state and Governor Rauner opposed raising the rates for people that care for our in-home care. They make less than retail. Retail pays at $10 to $15 an hour.
Right.
Our in-home care providers are making like $9.64, and Governor Rauner vetoed that.
Yeah, that was something that I've hit a wall with because we're trying to figure this out as far as caregivers, because people can make more going to work at fast food restaurants than they can to provide respite services or in-home care.
And then we have our nursing homes, which are short-staffed, and the people there aren't getting paid properly. And so then you wonder why these things happen. It's because we have a governor that's just not plugged in, not in tune, just said he's not in charge. And then we have all these horrific, horrific things. And this is just the pinnacle where you have somebody in their room decomposing.
Yeah.
And nobody knows they're there.
Eric has drawn a deep breath. Go ahead, Eric.
So, but in what was it in 2015, right? The governor's office, Illinois Department of Public Health, contacted the CDC. They had the CDC here, and they did a full analysis and a breakdown on this.
Of which one are we on? Are we
in
on the
Quincy.
Veterans
in Quincy?
Home.
Okay. Yeah. In Quincy. And you know, clearly, this is a facility. You know, the building itself is extremely old. It needs a lot of rehab. Correct. I mean, there needs to be a lot of work done to that. And so, yeah, they should have stayed on top of it. Clearly, they didn't.
Or moved.
But to say that they never did outreach, they brought the CDC in as a proactive position in August of 2015. You know, within 8 months of after being sworn in. I mean, they're still getting set up, setting up their new government. So to say that they have done nothing, I think, is a little bit of an exaggeration.
So with the CDC, I'm sorry, when you say that 2015 they were setting up their new government,
in January.
Yeah, but the CDC should be able to act exclusive to whatever, whoever's in the executive office. How are they? I mean, that's
the CDC is a federal.
The continuation of services should have nothing, have no impact from who's the governor of Illinois.
No, what I'm saying is that the Department of Health reached out to the CDC to say, hey, we think we have a problem here.
Okay.
Can we bring your expertise in
on August 23rd?
Right. And that was in August. The first outbreak was August 5th.
Right.
And I'm not talking about the water. What they did is they flushed the water and they focused on the water. What I'm talking about is staff. They had their first outbreak August 5th. We have accounts now of residents fearful for their health, afraid something's happening, and they're not being tested for Legionnaire disease. They're given Tylenol. They're not proactive with the care of the people. The only action we saw from the administration is they said that they flushed the system and they put in new water. But the care of the people, you have two in August, but they're given Tylenol. You know, there should have been extensive testing to make sure. There should have been extensive outreach to inform the residents if you're feeling pneumonia-like symptoms, most likely it's going to be Legionnaire's disease. I'm talking about how they treated the people, not the actions with the system.
So let me ask you a question, because this is, you know, my mother-in-law was in a nursing home in Skokie for almost 5.5 years. It's supposedly one of the better nursing homes, and we had neglect issues on a constant basis. So, you know, I'm always struck by, is this staff just kind of going through the motions? Is this a lack of oversight? Is this a lack of care?
Yeah,
How
do you change a culture of care? And this is something, I mean, I guess it's kind of a broader question, and this goes across the country, maybe across the world. I don't know who's doing it right, but how do you change the culture of care?
Yeah,
first of all, I think, every day we're seeing cuts to Medicare rates. When you pay people who need to be highly skilled $9.64, what kind of person are you going to get? You're not going to get the best person. And when there's continual cuts to Medicaid rates, continual cuts to funding for our frail elderly and the disabled, unfortunately, there's a shortage of skilled individuals. So I think part of it is raising the caliber of care means raising the caliber of skills for the people that are in there, which requires not paying $9.64.
I have to agree with that.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, it's just that goes without saying.
I mean, $9. I mean, think about that. And again, we went through this because we both had private caregivers when my dad went through his 7-year illness. We had private in-home caregivers. We paid them well, relatively speaking, way better than average, but probably was like $15 an hour. You know.
Yeah.
But it's, we gave them benefits and others, but it's just, society.
It's the hardest thing, Dave, isn't it?
Oh, my God.
To have someone take care of your loved one. I mean, we're going through this with, like, we've maybe had, in Declan's entire life, maybe had 3 or 4 people who, and we have not had anybody be able to babysit Declan in 3 or 4 years, really. But throughout his entire life, where we felt comfortable leaving him alone with somebody because he needs specialized care. My son has part of his brain missing, and he doesn't behave the way an average developing child behaves. And so leaving him alone with somebody who might leave him in his diaper that's been soiled. My son's 12. And so does someone know to change him or to even like check him? And how often do you check? And can you, I mean, they don't know what he looks like when he's going to go, or that he is, you know,
and
or
the way he walks, identify.
The way he walks when his right. diaper is full and he's 12 and you don't expect a 12-year-old to have a diaper. And since he can't talk,
right. let's he take can't a break tell here. What happened.
Yeah. So let's take a break here. We're talking Elliot. I imagine Elliot just cradling the phone next to him going, my head's still going to explode. My head's still going to explode.
Elliot's curled up with Sinbad.
Well, my head's still on. Is Susan there still?
Yep. Yes, she is.
Oh, yeah. Susan, just telling you, I feel your pain. I know.
Yeah. She's trying to solve Joe's quest.
I may
quest.
Have found the wine. That
oh, we have. We might have found the sweet, a wine solution.
The sweet wine from De Cook or
from
whatever it was.
Portugal with yes. the Escudos.
Yeah.
Escudos. Yeah. All right. We have Representative Stephanie Kifowit on the line. We have Susan Danenberger in studio, Eric Elk, Dave Lundy, Elliot Serrano on the line as well. You can join us. This is, hey, it's Freak Out Friday. We can talk about anything and everything. Right now, we are talking about some of the issues that are very important to our most important citizens of the state of Illinois. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. We only have a couple more minutes before the news, so we've been talking about some important things and issues that are vital, especially the services that we need for our most vulnerable in the state of Illinois. I do want to switch it up a little bit and ask Representative Kifowit how she's doing for the holidays. Representative Kifowit, what are your plans this season with your family?
Oh, I pretty much, since they don't see me much during the year, we pretty much stay at home and just enjoy our family company.
I love how much you get out into the community. I'm always watching the posts that you have, whether it's attending, you know, something at a coffee chat or, you know, an opening for a live. I mean, like, you're everywhere. I mean, a lot of the reps are as well, but you're very active. And of course, your service mm-hmm. in the military as a Marine is important. And also, I think brings you into different environments that perhaps other people don't have that opportunity. So I want to thank you for all of that you do for the people in your district. Again, remind people where you serve.
Where I serve or what my district
represent? Who you represent?
I served. Oh, who I represent? I served in Okinawa and at Camp Pendleton, but
there you go.
I represent areas of Aurora and Naperville. And I do want to say, I even personally wish happy birthdays to people. And I think somebody's got a birthday in your...
Oh my gosh! I totally forgot, Dave. I'm so sorry.
I wasn't going to say anything, Patty, because technically my birthday was yesterday.
That's true. Oh my God, Dave Lundy, it's your birthday.
Thank you for remembering.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
I mentioned it to her earlier.
He did. He told you know, I have some really good cookies in the green room from Tom's mom.
Some people care.
Wait, Dave, I have cookies from Tom's mom. They're actually from you. Can I give you cookies from you to you for your birthday?
Talk about regifting.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Oh my God. You know what? I had this moment where I thought, oh, we should get a cool cake for him. And then, like, the time came and went.
Well, you're like, how's your day? You're like, yeah, my day was okay.
Oh, so. What are you, like, Molly Ringwald and 16 candles?
Exactly. Exactly. Thank you very much.
The way you were laying it out earlier, it sounded definitely that way.
Actually, yeah. the day was pretty crappy, but that's okay.
Come on. Wow. Look
but
at
I appreciate,
Kifowit knowing.
Yes. Somebody,
that's
Representative
right.
Kifowit.
I personally do that stuff.
She's
God bless Facebook.
She doesn't even represent your district, and she's no. Is it just Facebook?
It's Facebook.
I think she just knew.
We're all more sensitive because of Facebook, because it tells us whose birthday it is today.
It's your birthday,
and people like me remember it.
Right, and thank you. I appreciate it. Unlike some people in the studio,
today
not naming names.
Today is a birthday. We wonder for who. If you look all around you, you'll see someone who. Oh, sorry. It's a Girl Scout thing.
7-4 is in the clear. Don't
I will
worry about
embarrass
it.
You. Just happy birthday. Happy birthday. Misery is in the air. People dying everywhere. Happy birthday.
See, that's a little more like it.
Is that a little
You know, today I was like the fire marshal. I was putting out fires for clients all freaking day.
And this is where you were hoping to come celebrate with us.
Yeah, I wanted a nice,
no
light, easy
it.
Day, and then I went to dinner.
Disease.
Well, and then I went to dinner with my family, and my wonderful son that I always talk wonderful things about was in just a mood to beat all moods.
How old is he now? Which one?
He's 12. You know, he's
is
a moody
this Eli
teenager.
Or is this
Eli, yeah,
Eli.
Yeah, he was really grumpy when we went up for my birthday dinner, and I'm like, dude,
you know why?
You're killing me here.
Exactly. He knows you're getting 1 year closer to death.
Exactly. Exactly, because he always wants to age me. He always wants to, you know, say things like, oh, Dad, you're now in your, you know, the next year. So, Dad, you're in your 54th year. I'm like, hey, back off, buddy.
This is why you Jack Benny the crap out of your kids.
Yes.
If no one knows what that means, it means that I'll be 39 for the rest of my life. It's creepy, but it works.
I don't quite feel 39, but 43, I feel 43, you know.
Aww, yeah. That's adorable.
At least someone brought the wine.
Yes.
Yay. Do you like wine?
Actually, I thought I was bringing the wine.
A whambulance.
Okay, Molly.
Yeah, I choose to go with that wine.
Oh, my God.
It's
Elliot.
A wine-free zone.
Yes. Elliot, do you have anything you want to say to Dave for his birthday?
Just so you know, I did remember it was your birthday. I didn't care.
I just didn't care. That's how you took care of that.
Elliot, I miss your honesty.
Representative Kipwood, how can people find you online, Facebook, and other places?
They can visit my website, ildistrict84.com, and they can look me up on Facebook, just Stephanie Kipwood. That's me.
Excellent. And you know, you have to come with me to Dannenberger Family Vineyards when I come down to Springfield. January 23rd, they're doing their rollout for the bicentennial.
Oh, absolutely. And then based on what we were talking about before, January 9th, we're having a joint hearing on that subject matter.
Oh, we are? About the veterans' homes?
Veteran homes, yep.
Okay. Yep. So is that going to be in Springfield or in Chicago?
It's going to be in Chicago, but it will be streamed on the ilga.gov website.
Okay. This is important. I know.
Which committee is it?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry, Rep.
Veterans Affairs. It's okay, going to be a joint committee between both the Senate and the House Veterans Affairs Committee.
Awesome.
So this, I know, again, it's Friday. We're laughing, talking serious things. This is how it goes on my show. But ilga.gov, that's where you can watch. If there's anything that's important to you, you can look for a bill. You can watch legislation being debated. You can watch hearings. There's testimony. Did they live stream you when you were testifying on stuff before?
Oh, sure.
There you go. Your face on that screen. You can see Dave Lundy, Representative Kiffewit.
Yeah.
Maybe Eric.
Slings and arrows of outrageous reps and senators.
All that stuff.
There you go. And it's .gov. Any other .dot will get you a way different website.
ilga.gov. I apologize. ilga.gov. Go there. You go through the. It's not the best website in the world. I'm just saying it's the state of Illinois. You can figure it out.
The state of Illinois.
Yeah. Email me. I'll walk you through it. Representative, have a wonderful evening. And if I don't see you before Christmas, Merry Christmas. And thank you for reminding me that it's Dave Lundy's birthday. The Molly Ringwald
have a
of my
great
show.
Christmas. Happy holidays, happy New Year's, and all that.
Wonderful. Bye, Rep.
Merry Christmas, happy New Year.
Happy New Year. More after this on 720 WGN. I'm making Elliot stay there. You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me is Susan Dannenberger, the extraordinary winemaker from Dannenberger Family Vineyards. It's her vineyard. She's not just the winemaker there. It's her inspiration.
My homestead.
That's generations of of your family raising crops there, and you've turned it into a new empire, and I love that.
You've made it your own.
Susan Dannenberger's incredible wines are available at DannenbergerFamilyVineyards.com.
Mm-hmm.
And you can follow her at DFV Wines on social media. And every Friday night, some Binnies, you can purchase her wines. Every Friday night, we feature a new wine from Susan. She pairs it with a series that we're binging on. It's called Binge and Uncork. And Elliot Serrano is the mastermind behind that segment. Elliot, are you ready for your head to explode?
We're going to do What's That From, right? And I'm going to be mad that I can't be there. Is that what you're saying?
No.
No.
But you know what's funny about...
Are you going to talk politics?
Well,
my cat left when you guys started talking about politics.
Well, you know what's funny about What's That From is that soon we won't even be able to watch things that's from because we won't be able to, we'll be paying extra in order to get those items that we enjoy. Are there people that just don't like watching things or having access to all the incredible information online that they want to constrict and...
It's not about constriction. It's about profit. It's about being free to charge more money to provide the content to your subscribers
at the optimum speeds.
Okay. And so the people who don't have the money, they just suffer. What's the problem? This is America and Donald Trump's America.
Now I gotta go buy Playgirl again. So what am I
wrong? Wait, do you mean that
what I mean, you know, like some
that is, so you, that's so the question.
So you go old school, that's
if
all.
You're gonna throttle down porn. There's going to be a revolt in this country.
I'm just saying.
She meant to read the articles.
Yeah, yes. No, to read the articles.
Did Playgirl have articles? I mean, you know.
Sure.
Sure, really?
Sure. Yeah, that's why
I would at least Playboy claim to have, you know, Norman Mailer and Gay Talese and, you mm-hmm. know, all these great writers. And I never noticed if there were things other than the articles.
Yeah, no. Why would you?
And why would you?
And exactly. Why would you? It's, okay, that aside, what happened this week has been coming down the pipe for quite a while, and the chairman of the FCC, Chairman Pei, we're not entirely sure. None of us have decided how to pronounce his name.
I prefer his name is pronounced as corporate shill.
Oh, well, I understand that. I don't think it's how it's not spelled that way. It's spelled P-A-I. Yeah, he actually has been a commissioner.
Which in his native language is corporate shill.
So
he came from Verizon.
Yes, and he also was previously commissioner on the FCC.
Yes.
And President Obama put him in that position. He was approved by the Senate, I believe, in the House, right?
Yes.
And
the Senate, but yeah.
As a commissioner, he didn't have the kind of power he has now, and has been put in a position where, and he's, and part of his position previously was always that neutrality should be something that was off the table. Okay. So why did this happen? No one got in his way anymore. Why do the other people agree with him? They also want people. They're also in the pocket.
Well, it's
of
the appointees. I mean, it's the Trump appointees.
So it was a vote of 3-2.
It was a vote of 3-2, and okay. That's what it takes. I mean, you know, they always say elections have consequences, and one of the consequences of this election is that Trump is putting all the people who want to put corporations first, and in this case,
because corporations are people and they have feelings.
Corporations are people too, my friend.
Yes.
Oh, I miss Mitt Romney. Whatever happened to Republicans like that?
If only we could all have elevators for our cars.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. But so the, you know, it really is the gutting of the regulatory framework. Now, net neutrality rules were only in place for a relatively short time. President Obama put those rules in place. But it's because the internet was changing so fast and
right.
Corporations increasingly wanted to charge these additional fees to deliver the content in the speeds that they wanted them delivered. And so they put the rules in place, and there was huzzas in internet land.
It's hard to spell, my friend. I hate spelling huzzah.
Huzzah?
Yeah. H-U-Z-Z-Z-Z-A-H.
It's like Hanukkah. How do you spell it?
Here's my question to that.
Yeah.
Because people have wondered, how do you monetize a lot of websites, right? I think a lot of companies, print in particular, didn't really figure out how to make sure that they were staying in the game, right? How newspapers could make sure that people were still paying for the journalists. And they didn't figure that out. And so the entire internet game got away from them. Not all of them, but a lot of them did. Yeah. And I still do not understand how Twitter is monetized. I don't know how they make money. I don't. I know how Facebook does. They seem to be able to lure me into promoting boosting a post for $20 here or whatever because I want to invite people to a show. So that seems to be one way they monetize, and they do seem to follow me when I like a pair of Franco Sarto boots on one site, and I'm like, look, there's another pair with a nice chunky heel. All right, I'll go after that. So I can kind of see that. I don't know how it's working on Twitter. So my question is there something in that where the FCC is trying to, you know, help companies or make it easier for them to make money? I'm just trying to figure out, I'm trying to be the devil's advocate in any way I possibly could. I can't because I hate that this happened and nobody seemed to have cared.
Yeah, I don't really think that's the point.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was trying.
Yes, we're just trying to help the struggling startups like Twitter. No, I don't think that's actually the intent. I think it's to help the
already rich.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, it's going well this week.
It is. Actually, the going rich stuff is going very well this week. But yesterday Donald Trump had a photo op where he had the regulations, supposedly the amount of regulations in 1960. He had this short stack of papers. And then he had this mounds and mounds and mounds of paper, all of which, of course, were blank, next to him in a big line going. And he says, I want to return the regulatory framework back to 1960. Now, folks may not be old enough to remember this, but in 1960, things like Lake Erie was on fire. The smog was so thick in New York City that you couldn't actually see buildings. You know, the building here in Chicago, we had massive pollution. You did all around the country. That's why we have regulations, so that we have clean air and clean water and safe foods. And, you know, everybody, the people who always attack these regulations, like, hey, no, wait, time out.
Right.
Regulations can be good. Yes, you can have overreach, but come on.
Right. And it does lend itself, right, when you have, let's say, building codes, right? When you have inspectors have to come by and decide whether or not something is up to spec. But you also then have places that are vulnerable. Let's say there's an earthquake somewhere. Now, in Mexico City, where they didn't have building regulations, nothing was enforced, and you saw buildings completely demolished because they were not built in a way that could survive an earthquake, and people died. And that's what you're talking about, is that this is what we all enter into a democracy, right? We've all accepted the Constitution and our Bill of Rights and all these are the laws of the land, and everything else that comes with that, as far as when we vote for our legislators, for our people in the executive branches. We also figure that, you know, our roads will be paved, our first responders will be paid. There's things that we expect when we pay our taxes, when we all enter into this agreement, and those regulations are part of it. Remember when the Tylenol deaths happened, right? There were people in the city of Chicago. There was a girl who was 13 years old died. Were there seven in the Chicagoland area? And that was because there were, you know, now we have safety bottles, and there has not been that kind of a tampering with medication since then. And that's because someone went, okay, how do we fix this? And that's a lot of where the regulation comes. And like you said, is there overreaching that happens?
Sure, there are stupid regulations. I mean, we all know that. But at the same time, you know, you wind up with the anti-regulation fervor. It reaches a fever peak in states like Texas, for example, where the current governor fought against regulations that would require, if you were a chemical manufacturer or you had a chemical warehouse, you were previously required to disclose what were the chemicals. So in case there's a fire, the first responders would know what they're getting into. Governor Abbott fought against that and eliminated that regulation. So now, if you have a warehouse with a bunch of toxic chemicals, you don't have to tell anybody.
When we come back, let's see how much Eric Elk and Elliot Serrano like net neutrality. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Elliot Serrano joins us on the line. Elliot, the conversation you've missed in the studio is Dave Lundy asking, where are my cookies? Where are my cookies? Elliot, you're missing the chocolate chunk cookies from Tom's Mom's Cookies.
They're really good, Elliot.
So, who wants to go first, Elliot or Eric, as far as net neutrality goes? And I think we have some people who want to understand what net neutrality is. Does anyone want to step up to the plate on this one?
Eric? I mean, I think net neutrality is pretty easy to explain.
Take it away,
okay,
Elliot.
So you have the internet, right?
Okay.
And let's say the internet is your way to get any information you want, anywhere you want. Now, you have channels on the internet. And let's say you're one of those companies that controls those channels, and there's certain information that you want people to get more readily than others. So let's say you slow down one of the channels so that people will want to go towards the information that you want them to get into, as opposed to your competitors' info. So net neutrality means you show no preference to anything on the internet. Everyone has an equal shot at anything.
Communism. Sorry, go ahead, Elliot.
Right now, right now, the internet is a form of communism.
Yes, it's a communist plot to have true equality with everything. You shouldn't have that.
Okay, wait a minute.
Is it because the Russians hacked in?
No.
Wait, are you saying in its present form, the internet is a communist platform?
I'm saying it's egalitarian.
Egalitarian.
Yes. Everybody's treated the same.
God, I Googled
well,
that.
Well, wouldn't you say broadband internet access is somewhat of a monopoly in certain areas of the country?
Sure.
And
oh,
so,
oh, definitely.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Elliot. What?
No, I'm sorry. I was just agreeing with you, as was Dave's claim, sir.
Right. So it's not a free market.
Well, here's the thing about it is that because the way the internet was first set up, it was like the phone company or the cable companies. I mean, it was something that was set up for public use for everyone. And much like the phone companies, they decided, oh, well, look, we got all this public land and public infrastructure, but we're the ones who are making the money off it, so we want to treat it like it's ours. And then that's essentially what happened to the internet. The government they said, well, this is now yours. All the stuff that, you know, this infrastructure, the big part of it that was paid for by the taxpayer is now being handed over to these corporations. I mean, I'll give the corporations this. They did spend a lot of money, you know, with their R&D, developing fiber optics and so on, but it's not without the generous contribution of the public.
Yeah, well, you know, people forget the internet was actually created by the U.S. government. It was
not Al Gore. Hold on one second.
Al Gore had a role in funding, in promoting funding for the internet.
Our good friend Jasmine is on the line. Jasmine, does Hello. Any of this make any sense?
Well, I have been keeping up to date with the stories because I just got a new phone, uh-huh. So I immediately set up my news app. But it makes some sense, and I'm kind of upset about it, and so are a lot of other kids at school. One of my friends was actually saying, do they really expect people to pay more for the internet than we already do?
Is that your understanding of it? Yes. Well, it depends, I guess, right?
As far as it depends how you get your access.
Right. It depends on the access you get and what you want to have access to.
Right.
I'm scared I'm not going to be able to, like, use YouTube anymore or something.
Well, it's funny you mention YouTube because that you have good reason to be concerned. Not that you're not going to be able to use YouTube, but how YouTube is going to be throttled back or forth depending upon who your service provider is and depending upon what agreements they have with YouTube. So you're not going to not be able to get YouTube. You'll still be able to get it. It just may be a little slower to load than it was previously.
Well, that's still not cool.
No, not cool. No, I'm with you. Not cool.
Eric?
No, I think that this, you know, we will have another battle on this in 2 or 3 more years. It'll keep going back and forth through the whole regulatory process unless or until someone legislates it, you know, puts it into law. Otherwise, I think...
I heard that some states might even sue over this.
Yeah, what chance do the states have over being able to prevent this from becoming...
Well, there's a multi-state lawsuit that New York started. Illinois is part of that lawsuit. I think there's like 18 or 19 different states that have joined in this lawsuit. Part of the premise of the lawsuit is that when this whole public comment period was going on over the net neutrality rules, there were actually millions of phony comments. There were fake comments.
Including Patty Duke Austin. Apparently. Patty Duke Austin.
There were fake comments, and many of hundreds of thousands of the fake comments were using stolen identities.
Wow. Yeah,
and identities of dead people.
Wow. There were folks from the North Shore that they found who had passed away.
Did my dad comment on something in public? That would be impressive.
Are you kidding? My dad.
He wouldn't have done that in life, let alone in death.
Yeah, my dad's been voting for Democrats for the last 16 years. He was a Republican when he died. So, Jess?
Thank you for letting me join the conversation. I needed to get it off my chest.
Of course, Jasmine. Anytime. It's good to hear from you. Everything else good?
Yeah, it's been going well. The school year's half over, so only 5.5 months till graduation and prom.
But who's counting?
Exactly. Who's counting?
And I have a quick question, by the way.
Okay.
I listened to your show a few weeks ago. What's going on with the Tribune Tower?
Oh, we're moving. The Tribune Tower has been sold. And it's going to become retail and condominiums. But we're moving to a really cool new space, Jasmine.
You're not losing your show, though, right?
Have you heard anything? I haven't. No, Jasmine. I'll still be here. I'll be here in the middle of the night as long as they'll let me stay. They're going to drag me kicking and screaming from these hallways. Believe me,
Jasmine. Do you have your prom dress yet?
Not yet, but soon. My friend and I are going to go shopping.
Awesome.
And now that I have a phone, I'm going to look for all of you on social media so I can
yay! Oh, I want to see pictures, Jasmine. Have a great night. We'll talk to you again soon. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Hope you're happy, healthy, and safe wherever you are tonight. It is time to play What's That From? Joining me in studio is Dave Lundy, the president of Aileron Communications. It's also his birthday. Did you start out your birthday by arguing with Chris Roebling? Is that how you start your week out?
No, actually, I started my birthday, one of the highlights of my birthday was Chris Roebling and I got a paying gig.
What?
I know. Can you believe it?
What?
And it's a well-paying gig.
What?
He and I are going to be the keynote speakers at the Illinois Realtors annual conference.
Congratulations. Same time.
Yeah, well, together.
Okay.
Because they loved our shtick on WGN. And
all right.
So they're like, hey, would you do this? I'm like, sure. wait, with Roebling?
Are they going to yell at each other on stage?
Yeah, no. They want the shtick.
Happy birthday to you.
Yeah, that was my best birthday present.
Well, excellent.
Yeah. And, you know, another year of being alive.
It's a bonus round for you. Eric Elk, the president and CEO of Fulcrum, Illinois, joins us as well. He'll be one of the actors, one of the thespians joining us on What's That From? Susan Dannenberger, Dannenberger Family Vineyards. Go to DannenbergerFamilyVineyards.com for all the incredible wines they have there and the events, including the rollout for the Bicentennial for the state of Illinois on January 23rd. On the line with us is Elliot Serrano, not eligible to play What's That From, Elliot. You cannot yell out what movie this is, okay? No matter how well you know it, no matter how quickly you know it, Elliot, you cannot yell, okay?
Well, but can I still qualify for a free Lou Malnati's or a gift card from App Electronics?
She never let me when I'm calling from home, Elliot.
You know what's really sad about that is that you missed some Lou Malnati's with I did Semper Film earlier today for Christmas. I watched a movie with the Marines tonight, so just want you to know you missed that. I already had Lou Malnati's. It was fantastic.
I'm missing everything today.
The best Lou Malnati's. By the way, Roger, how great was that gluten-free pizza?
That was delicious and very light on my svelte figure.
There you go. Well, and I had one of each.
You did.
I don't need a gluten-free diet, so I wanted to try it, and it was fantastic. And I had the deep dish as well. And their salad. Okay, let's continue on. We have a scene from a movie that you may or may not know. If you do know what movie we are reading a scene from, then you should call us at 312-981-7200. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I present the incredible thespians from Pretty Late. Roger, take it away.
Actually, we open up with Boggs speaking first.
What?
Yeah, at the top of the page, at least according to the copy I got.
We probably should have told him where we start from. I apologize. Sam, every day, in every way, I'm getting better and better.
Opens the box and removes its contents. Brand new color television. Plugs it in, switches it on, sits down with a bottle of whiskey and drinks. On the screen, the Grinch steals Christmas from the residents of Whoville. Boggs opens a drawer beside him and takes out a bottle of sleeping pills, picks it up and
gives me a look.
And as he does, the sound of the television fades out. Silence. Dead silence. As Boggs rolls the bottle in his fingers, slowly, thoughtfully unscrews the cap, dumps them on the table, runs his fingers through them. Click, click. Stares mesmerized as rain beats on the window. The rain continues to hammer the lonely little pit, which Boggs calls home. Next scene is at the L.A. Police Department. It's morning. A zoo. A sign reads, Metro Robbery Homicide. Furlough sits at his desk, lost in thought, behind him McCaskey, Class 3 detective. He talks to Furlough.
See, you're behind the times, Sarge. Guys in the 80s aren't tough. They're sensitive people. They show emotions around women. Don't you know? I think I'm an 80s man.
How you figure?
Last night, I cried in bed. So how's that?
Were you with a woman?
No, I was alone, and that's why I was crying.
Sounds like an 80s man to me.
Another detective enters. Rail thin, nose like a beak. His name is Burke. Behind him in the doorframe, we see a large cop pass by down the hall, walking backwards, a beat, and then he is followed by four more cops singing the world's crappiest rendition of It Came Upon a Midnight Clear. It sounds like pigs mating. Burke approaches Furlow.
Got some news on the Lloyd case, Raj.
That was quick.
So was the autopsy. You ready for this? They're not calling it suicide.
What?
Surprise, surprise. First off, coroner found evidence she took barbiturates.
Brilliant. There was an open bottle on her table.
Right, right. That's not the surprise. Surprise is someone doctored the pills. Every capsule was loaded with drain cleaner.
Jesus.
If she hadn't jumped, she would have been dead inside 15 minutes.
This case blows.
Across the room, a detective takes off his gun and slings the holster across his chair. As he exits the frame, we pan to reveal Boggs as he enters the squad room, shuffles from foot to foot, looking lost, lights a smoke. Furlaw slings on a jacket, turns to go, notices Boggs. Boggs resembles a bag person. Unshaven, limp, dirty hair, grimy leather jacket. He frowns and says,
McCaskey, if my wife calls, tell her late dinner.
Oh, Raj, I'm not through yet. I'm supposed to tell you two more things.
Shoot!
He is still looking at Boggs, who is slowly wandering from desk to desk, smoking, snapping near the desk with the holstered gun.
First, condition of the sheets and mattress indicates someone was in bed with Amanda Lloyd just before she died. That's A.
What's B?
B is, I'm supposed to tell you, you're breaking in a new partner on this.
Now Furlow is eyeballing Boggs. Cautious.
I don't work partners.
You do now. CIT transfer. Some burnout they want you to keep on a leash.
Oh, perfect. Can I trade in my life for a new one?
At which point, across the room, Boggs removes the holstered gun and hefts it curiously. Suddenly, all hell breaks loose.
Gun!
He bolts like a cheetah. Cops dive for cover. A secretary shrieks, and Murtaugh goes plowing through the squad room like an express train, blowing people out of the way. Cops grabbing for their holsters. Boggs, meanwhile, looking around frantically. He's trying to find the guy with the gun who is, of course, himself. Furlaw takes a flying leap, sails across the desk, going for the glory, and Boggs, in the blink of an eye, simply ducks and flimps Furlaw neatly over one shoulder. There's a hideous crash of breaking glass and overturning furniture. McCaskey, meanwhile, screams to Burke.
What in the world's going on?
Burke sighs, shakes his head. Roger, nope, I'm sorry.
Roger's met his new partner.
Darkness.
Elliot, how are you doing?
Yeah.
This is all your fault. If you think your movie is the best Christmas movie, I present you with with Case B.
Darkness, a soft click as a gun is cocked. The barrel gleams.
We're
done, Roger. All right,
sorry, we should have given you that. That was it. Yes.
Is this the on-screen commentary?
Yes, you're now doing the on-screen commentary. I thought we should do a holiday movie for our final What's That From? I believe this is the last one before Christmas.
So right.
We've done. Oh, yeah. I think so. Unless you want to come in on Thursday, I'll be here on Thursday. You're welcome to join me. No, it's a big no from everybody. All right. Elliot, I'm going to guess you know what that's from. I'm also going to guess that Patrick knows what that's from. Patrick, what's that from?
That's Lethal Weapon.
Yay! You have won a gift card from Apt Electronics. You can go to apt.com for more information about all the great things they sell there. If you go to the store in Glenview, say hi to our friend Steve Shapiro. Now, Patrick, would you admit that that is a Christmas movie?
Yes, I would admit that that is a Christmas movie. However, you and Nick are going to have to battle it out. Because, see, he also mentions Die Hard.
No. That's why we did Lethal Weapon, because Elliot, now you contend that Die Hard is the best Christmas movie, don't you? Or one of them, at least.
Oh, yeah.
only rivaled by Home Alone, but that's because Home Alone is essentially the same movie. So, you
know. Oh my God, it is.
As Die Hard?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's trapped in his house.
Die Hard with a little kid.
Yeah.
Right.
It is. Mm-hmm. It's Die Hard with a little kid.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not buying.
Patrick, what other movies would you say are? Oh, he's giving his information to Joe to make sure that he's got his gift card from Apt Electronics. Yeah, I was trying to find, because everyone's been talking about Die Hard being this big Christmas movie. Lethal Weapon was first of all.
True.
And also at the Christmas season. I mean, the first time you meet Riggs, isn't he in a Christmas tree lot, busting Ooh. A oh, drug yeah. deal?
That's right.
Elliot?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, Christmas is all over Lethal Weapon. That is true.
Yeah. I mean, there's yeah.
It's but, just, you know, it's Los Angeles, though. It's hard to feel Christmas in Los Angeles.
Right, there's no snow.
Both Die Hard and Lethal Weapon are in Los Angeles. Both of them are, right? How about when Busey, Gary Busey comes into the house, he's got the machine gun, and Scrooge is playing, right? The movie with Alistair Sims, I think, isn't it?
Oh, or yeah, that's right.
Right? He's like, I hate Christmas, and he shoots the television. I'm just saying. Like, I would contend there are more Christmas elements in Lethal Weapon than there are in Die Hard. That's just my thing.
Oh, the weather outside.
That's
is
the music.
Frightful. Yes, but that's when you see the movie, the end of the movie, you know, you got that music, and right. So it makes you think of Christmas.
True.
Okay, more after Sorry. This. We're going to fight during the break. More after this on 720. I don't care if it's your birthday. More after this on 720 WGN. No, this is the Lethal Weapon theme.
Oh, was it?
Here's the thing, is like, we think we know Lethal Weapon, but do you know Lethal Weapon? Elliot, do you remember this? This is when he's in the trailer, isn't it?
Yeah, and he's considering blowing his brains out.
Yeah.
Oh. Yes. I thought we were
in the middle of a bender, or just after a bender.
Yeah, it's funny because we mentioned this off the air. Mel Gibson and his collection of movies. It's hard, right, to separate. But I think now, I don't know. We're in this place now with movie stars. Anyone from Kevin Spacey, Dustin Hoffman, now Matt Damon, by the way, who blew up the internet by
what?
Oh yeah, Matt Damon. No allegations against him just yet. Susan, sorry. No.
Susan is relieved.
No, he's trying to mansplain us all about, and someone asked me the other day what mansplaining was, and I was like, I hardly ever use the phrase because
what was he mansplaining?
He was like, well, you know, you have to take each case as it comes, and we really need to be able to right. And so and I get that. And he's not wrong. Okay.
Wait, he's not wrong. I mean, isn't that the point you've been making about Al Franken?
We need to be able to have a conversation, right? Matt Damon, who was told by his best friend Ben Affleck that Rose McGowan had been attacked by Harvey Weinstein. So Matt
and these
Damon
guys
knew.
Did nothing.
He did know, and he profited immensely from it. To now tell us, well, you know, you really got to take it out. So not that guy, right? Not that guy to tell me how to deal with this.
Right.
Right. So you and I, and a lot of us, many of us should be having this conversation, but not the guy who's one of the most successful people in the industry because of his relationship with Harvey Weinstein, who apparently was one of the most egregious attackers in Hollywood. So that's my thing about Matt Damon coming. And not just, by the way, not just in this instance. When he was doing Greenlight, he was mentoring other movie makers and telling a woman of color that you don't have to be a person of color to be able to tell a story. We don't need to have black people behind the camera in order to tell your story. White people can tell your story. He was telling her that, and she was like, but I'm trying to tell my story.
On the Project Greenlight show?
Yes! So this is not new. This was years ago he did that. So it's not, it's from a place of ignorance.
Not cool.
I don't hate him. I just, you know, need him to take a step back.
Yeah.
But, so, and Elliot and I have had these conversations, and Dave and I have messaged about this back and forth, yes.
But I guess the thing that drives me nuts with that is when they, some of these folks like Damon that you're talking about will get on their high horse and start going after people.
Yes.
Look in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
start with yourself.
Yes.
And I've done that. And that's why when Dave, when you and I are communicating, and my point about being on a comedy tour, right? Like this, what's her first name? Tweeden?
Leanne
Tweeden, right? So I've been a performer, and I am professionally a comedian. That's been my stock and trade for over 20 years. And there are moments when you know you sort of like try to play to whatever the moment is and decide, okay, well, it's going to be easier for me if I go along with this sort of, you know, raunchy element of the show, with the tour that I'm on, right? And for me to later on say, like, to say, well, that they assaulted me or that was inappropriate of them, then I should have, honestly, for me as a performer, then I participated willingly. I did, right? And for me to, I mean, like, I don't like that it happened and I wish that it hadn't happened, but I'm not going to go after the people I was on tour with now and say that it was their fault they did something to me. I can parcel out the different parts of my life that I know were, and that is a place where we have to have conversations, right? So someone coming out and clearly for political reasons, and someone who participated in that way herself, right? So Leanne Tweeden was also groping, grabbing guys by the crotch, making out with them, wrapping her leg around somebody, humping them, right? So we don't know what the other aspects of that were, right? So yes, the other claims of it, one of the claims against Senator Franken was that a woman felt that when they were taking a photo, he put his hand on her waist and squeezed her flesh.
I didn't get that one.
Well, she says, and this is, there's an interview with her where she says, I had gained 20 pounds and I was feeling self-conscious and he squeezed me twice on my waist. And I don't know if they were in a crowded room. I don't know if he was socially awkward. That makes me uncomfortable in the sense that that would not be something I would reflect to. Maybe
That's not sexual harassment.
And she is saying that it is. And these are the things.
Okay, but I've had people grope me and they, you know, put their hand around my middle and they're like, ooh, squishy.
Right. And so, right. And that feels physically uncomfortable. They're socially awkward. So that was the conversation I was trying to have with you offline,
right,
when we were messaging, was that I wasn't comfortable with the allegations in their scope, right? There were women who said that in pictures, he would cup their buttocks, but they were smiling in the photos, and I've taken thousands of pictures too, and I don't know that I could actually like isolate the moments in which I felt that someone was inappropriate. I couldn't, but the ones that I know were sexually aggressive, I can definitively tell you those moments.
Right,
and so maybe those women had those moments with Al Franken. I don't know. We'll never know for sure.
Right.
More. Let's talk about that some more, or other things. My head's gonna explode. Elliot, how's your head? You know, let's go to news. That was poorly worded.
Wait a minute.
Poorly.
Sounds like his head's a little squishy.
Poorly worded. Let's take a break first and then go to the news. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Someday, Elliot, someday, you know that off-air conversation's got to be recorded, don't you think?
Well, you know, it's always, the FCC won't let it be broadcast, but, you know.
I know. I think we were somewhat clean in this last, were we?
Yeah, I think might have swore once or twice.
It's your birthday. Yeah. It's encouraged. And by the way, it's still your birthday in Los Angeles until 2 a.m.
Oh, okay, good.
Happy birthday to
you. Well, actually, I was born at 1:31 in the morning, I think, on December 15th.
So. This is what moms do. Does your mom remind you of when you were born, Eric Elk?
Yep.
And Susan, yes. Do you mind your kids?
8:06.
Yeah. Yep. 4:44. And 12. Well, Declan's is a little bit tricky, but somewhere after midnight. So, yes.
Actually, my mom doesn't remind me. I just remember looking at my birth certificate once.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it said 1:31.
Mine's like around noonish or something.
By the way, I'm sure when I get off the air, my mom's going to call me and she's going to say, no, honey, it didn't say 1:31. It said 1:37 or something. I don't know. Because I may be wrong.
Get it.
Maybe
right.
It wasn't 1:31. I'm pretty sure it was 1:31.
I was in labor my first time for 21 hours and 5 minutes.
Oh, my goodness.
It was ridiculous.
Oh, my God.
It was, the 5 minutes are important, just so you know. Yeah, I was in labor for very long, 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 very, so very long, long. long time. It was a long time.
That's horrible.
I was very angry. But when Steve, poor Steve, I was like, no, go eat. He looked so hungry. And he went out and got Portillo's. And I asked him to bring back mashed potatoes for me that I couldn't have until I delivered Griffin. And then once... that once everything was squared away, I was like, where's my mashed potatoes? So, yes.
That's okay. I remember when Jen went into labor with our first, we got to the hospital. I was actually at my office defrosting a refrigerator because I just moved that day. I raced home, picked her up, came back to the hospital, and we get into the room, and it's like 3 a.m, 4 a.m. And she's like, honey, I can't do this. I'm like, no, you kind of gotta.
No choice here.
Yeah. You know what's funny?
It's a one-way street, baby. Sorry.
I never thought that with Griffin. I remember, like, I was, you know, the train was in forward motion. We were on the tracks, you know. Even when I was in labor for 21 hours and 5 minutes, but I had to push for almost 2 hours. And that was brutal. And I never gave up. And I was having a tough time. But with Declan, it was a tough labor. I didn't have an epidural. So I do
either
remember
time?
The first time I did, the second time I didn't. But I remember pushing the second time with Declan, and I was like, I remember going, I can't. And I remember laughing at women like on the baby channel or whatever, like a baby story or whatever, and women saying, I can't, or I can't do it anymore, I don't wanna, and laughing or like mocking them, and then like having that come from my soul, thinking I can't do this. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, you do, obviously. How many kids do you have?
I have two boys, he'll be 21 and 27, but I got lucky. I had C-sections, so I didn't have the tough stuff.
Well, Jen pushed for 19, we had 19 and a half hour labor, and
see,
she pushed,
so you know.
Well, she pushed for 3 hours and then had an emergency C.
Oh, no, yeah, I mean, there comes a point where they...
Oh, worst of all possible ones.
Yeah, no, it's the worst. Oh, it is, yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Her recovery, so she was like...
Oh, yeah, no, it was bad.
Oh, no, yeah. Oh, it makes my whole
back
body
spasms,
hurt.
Back spasms the entire time.
There's things, other things that happened that I know that, yeah, she, yeah, that she went through. Yeah, us. Awful. That's wow. Hi, Elliot, how are you doing? Do you want to know about my hemorrhoids? What do you want to know about, Elliot?
Whoa. Welcome to the TMI channel.
Well, when they tell you to push like that's happening, that's what happens. Yeah. So I'm just saying, hey, Elliot, how are you doing?
I'm good. It's just all those things you described is how I feel whenever the politics start talking. So, yeah.
Well, here's the good news. Speaking of hemorrhoids, I heard that Omarosa was removed. Forcibly from the White House.
Now that's a seg. That was a professional grade comedian seg.
Sometimes, clip out later.
Sometimes I just need to fan myself, my glory. So let's refresh people's memories. Omarosa was on the first season of The Apprentice, which I believe really set the ball in motion for Donald Trump becoming the president of the United States.
Good God.
I could be wrong, but it could have been
sooner. No,
it
was
earlier.
You're right.
I don't know.
No, you're right.
Well, so the idea behind The Apprentice is that I never watched the show, but the idea was that he knew who would make good business people, and so as a successful businessman, even though he claimed bankruptcy time after time, and had he invested money in a wise way, he would have been exponentially more rich than he actually has claimed to be, even though we don't know his tax returns are. As a result of all of his negligible success, he says that he only does what, Joe? Do you happen to have that clip of what Donald Trump claims?
Yes, I do.
Let's hear what does he say about his expertise?
We're going to deliver. We're going to get the best people in the world. You know, we have the greatest business people in the world. We don't use them. We're going to use our smartest and our best. We're not using political hacks anymore. That's the people that do these deals. They're political hacks.
We want experts, our finest people. We don't want people that are B-level, C-level, D-level. We have to get our absolute best.
So where would you put Omarosa as far as our absolute best, our experts? Where would you put Omarosa as somebody who was in charge of urban? Wasn't she in charge of urban development?
I don't really know what she was in charge of.
She had one of the highest paying jobs on his in his White House.
She was like 179,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So she has said, after reports of her being forcibly removed, cussing and screaming, I just imagine like her like holding on to like door frames. Like, I mean, like, I know what I would be like. I told you, in order for me to lose this show, they would have to drag me kicking and screaming in the hallways of the Tribune.
And they actually did drag her kicking and screaming, apparently.
Yes.
Because she, it's my understanding from all the press reports that she, John Kelly fired her. She wanted to appeal the decision to the Donald, and so she tried to claw her way into the residence, where you just don't do that. Secret Service has something to say about that, and I believe they said,
well, turn around.
And of course, a lot of the memes are by Felicia. A lot of response, and from
bye-bye.
Elliot, what was your reaction when you heard this story?
Well, the thing about Omarosa is that she was very front and center with everything going on, even from the beginning of the Trump presidency. I remember the two times she stood out the most was, of course, one when Trump gave that speech in front of the wall when you're talking to the CIA operatives or FBI operatives, and he was making all he was making that really bad political speech, and you could hear Omarosa cheering, you know, in front of this solemn monument, you know, to all these fallen agents. And then they don't want to talk about how they'll remember, you know, all of Trump's enemies. They'll remember when the time for revenge comes, and that, oh yeah, that's the way your communications, you know, person should be speaking.
Well, it was worse. She said that all the enemies of Donald Trump would bow down before Donald.
Yes.
Oh yeah. So it's like, come on, you're supposed to be like this seasoned business person. I remember that from The Apprentice. You know, she was supposed to be involved in social work, and she was a business person. She knew how to work with people, and it was just like, again, just a whole bunch of just the biggest sycophant, I guess, that Donald had on that staff. So that's really why she stayed around so long. You know, that, you know, Trump wants loyalty. You know, that's always his thing. You have to be loyal to him.
Yeah, Elliot, I don't know, the biggest sycophant around Donald. I mean, geez, that's a serious competition.
Yeah. So it's such a list.
That is a serious competition.
There was a report that she had gone to the White House on a weekend with her bridal party to do pictures in the White House.
Yeah,
I mean, she has no understanding or respect for the White House or the office in which she was working.
Well, it all seems like it's just sort of a prop for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, Donald Trump doesn't have respect for the White House and the majesty of the White House, which is why he still insists on tweeting these insane things out on a daily basis. So why should the staff who works for him have that respect?
So when she was talking to Robin Roberts on Good Morning America, she said that she has a story to tell, and I'm sure she'll be selling that. She'll be selling the story. Robin Roberts said, yeah, bye, Felicia.
Yeah.
To which Omarosa has said there is a, quote, black woman civil war on Robin Roberts.
Yeah, I don't think.
Okay.
Right. I mean, I think she learned
all those
this
who care, please raise your hand. Oh, wait. No, ooh, nobody. Sorry.
Crickets. Did she tweet that out? Because she, her boss, her former boss, apparently has made that the way of communicating. And Eric, you sent me a link about how social media is tearing away at the fabric of our society. Is it, I mean, do you think that it is? I think that there's something about shining a light on it that's also, I don't know.
Shining a light how crazy some people are?
Yes! I kind of like knowing where everybody is.
I don't really care what people like are having for dinner or what they're doing or where they
are.
Yeah,
but let them let their freak fly. That's fine. Let that all that shine and whatever light they need to. And because there are people who I see for I would keep as social media friends or acquaintances or whatever,
in order to be able to keep tabs on where they were emotionally, because they put it all out there. People who were kind of even scary to me. Like, there was somebody who kept a profile picture of his profile picture and his banner picture were both of me with him. Like, he'd come to a comedy show, and so it was the exact same photo, and all of his photo, like, we were best friends, and I kind of needed to keep tabs on that, and then eventually went, oh, okay, this is dangerous, right? Without that, I wouldn't have known that he posed a danger. I don't think that social media necessarily made him more dangerous. I got to know where he was and what and kind of what he was doing.
I suppose.
Ah, Elliot, someone's trying to censor Elliot right there. Hold on a second.
So that net neutrality talk.
It is all net neutrality. What were you saying, Eric?
No, I think it's eroded, though, the interaction people have with other people. You know, so often now it's just done on a device or on a computer versus actually, and you miss the tone in things like that. And you interpret, you know, sometimes if people are in a crazy mood, they interpret a tone that may not have been there.
I agree. Something that seems too familiar or something that seems like it's too intimate. Elliot, how's your phone now?
I'm here. Yes.
What were you going to say?
It just seems to me, though, it's funny, and maybe I'm the only one who sees this. When folks interact on social media, they seem to be lacking that filter that you would have talking to folks in person.
Agreed. Oh, sure. Yeah,
that is so true. Yeah.
Yes. And yeah. then the civility.
It's like the things that they would never say to your face if they were in a room with you, they seem to feel perfectly comfortable saying it on your Facebook page or at you on Twitter or in a message. And it's like, but I don't know what it is about that, just the internet, that just takes that filter away and people just lose it.
Well, and that is so true, Elliot. Even the aforementioned Justin Kaufman, partner of mine, Chris Roebling, live, he's a relatively sane human. On the radio, he's slightly less sane human, but on Facebook, he's insane.
Do you know what's beautiful about hearing Roebling on your show and also seeing him on WGN TV is I have to disagree with you completely. I can hear his voice on the screen as I'm reading it. No, he sounds exactly the same in print as he does.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. I think Chris... Yeah. And I would say this, by the way, if he was sitting in front of me.
I know.
And he's actually right now in Saudi Arabia, so he could be listening live.
That's fine.
But... Yeah.
He's not, though, because he doesn't have any respect for anything else that you do. He's not going to follow you and listen to your other shows.
No, we're friends. I know you find that hard to believe. But.
Okay.
But anyway, I think he sounds insane on Facebook, whereas in real life, I think he sounds more, you know, he's nicer in person.
You know what you sound like right now? Insane. More after this on 720 WGN.
You're like nice. That whiny, smarmy, teacher-like voice of Al Gore.
I know.
Oh, my God. It was nails on a chalkboard.
Elliot, that's elements of the off-air conversation we were having about the 2000 election. And for people who think they know everyone's politics, I was all in for John McCain. And had there not been push polling in South Carolina, where people were making phone calls saying, what would you think if John McCain had a daughter of color and all this stuff? And it was, he adopted a child who was dark skinned, and everyone thought he'd had an affair with a black woman.
Right.
So it was fun times in 2000. And
it was fun times.
Okay, then. Elliot, that's the conversation we were having off air.
Oh, well, then. How's Susan doing? Is she okay?
She's got Tom's mom's cookie. She's great.
Susan,
Elliot and I like to just laugh.
Susan, having been here now for a full Friday night show, what do you prefer, on-air conversations or off-air conversations?
Ooh, the inside scoop's kind of fun.
It's a lot of swearing off-air, isn't there?
Yeah.
There's a lot of language.
What the? Oh,
what? Yes.
We're on air.
Joe's like, thank God, I've had it easy tonight.
7-second delay. Where is it when you need it?
Hey. All right, this is when we tell each other something good. Tell me something good. It's the end of the show. My something good is I survived the day. I had so much fun as part of our WGN Holiday Spectacular beginning at 10 a.m. Friday. Today it's now almost 2 a.m. Saturday. Matt Pabala will be here in any moment. He was here as well, so I want to know if we get a chance to nap. I want to thank all of our listeners who participated today and all of the incredible WGN family and staff that made a wonderful event come to life for all of us. Eric Elk, it's your turn. Tell me something good.
I think that my something good is we're getting close to the holiday. It's slow time, and I'm looking forward to getting through a few books in the next 2 weeks.
Ooh, what are you gonna read?
I have yet to pick, okay. And so I'm kind of going through a list.
Do you like fiction, or do you like...
I want to do one fiction and one nonfiction.
Interesting.
Between now and the new year, just kind of during the slower period, and enjoy that and take in the holidays.
All right. Have you read the Abraham Lincoln book by Doris Kearns Goodwin?
I have not.
I have that one at home as well. Ooh. I'm reading that.
Which
Abraham
one?
Lincoln's, Abraham Lincoln. It's the one that
not the Team of Rivals.
Team of Rivals.
Oh yeah,
I'm still reading that. I'm in the. It's a long read. It's a dense book.
It is.
But it's amazing to just even think about the men he was running against and his chances, what they wanted to happen in the country. I mean, between Chase and Bates and Solomon and all. I mean, it's incredible. Yeah. Anyway, so that's where I am. Just my recommendation off the bat.
Thank you. I will add that.
Mr. Lundy, birthday boy.
You know, my something good is it's great to be alive.
Happy birthday.
That, okay, fine. The day wasn't great. It was annoying. It was a lot of stress. But it's great to be alive for one more year on this planet. While there's a lot wrong with Facebook, the best part about Facebook is birthdays.
I did not. You know, I don't do Facebook birthdays. This is a weird thing.
I'm
the opposite. I don't send anybody Facebook birthdays. Isn't that strange?
See, and I shouldn't say this, but I've got a couple hundred... I've got to get through. I haven't
say
even
thank
looked.
You.
I haven't even looked at who said happy birthday, because sometimes people say
I won't be one of them.
Happy birthday, and I know not to look for you.
Don't look for me.
But it's actually kind of cool because everybody comes out of the woodwork and is like, "Oh, happy birthday, Dave!" And some people just say happy birthday, and other people actually write notes, and it's nice.
Personal that
yeah, it's
I
nice
love that part.
Yeah, that's yeah. very nice. I'm so glad
get
you were here.
Warm fuzzies.
I'm so glad you were here, and that you could remind me, and Roger Badish could remind me, and I could feel badly for not remembering.
Well, I just was glad that Stephanie Kifowit, Representative Kifowit, was
did.
Here, because she's the one who remembered.
That's correct.
You just pretended I didn't exist. I felt like Molly Ringwald in 16 Candles.
Susan, what's your something good?
Oh, gosh, there's so many wonderful things. But speaking of birthdays, I guess my youngest son, Clayton's going to be 21 in a week, and we can finally go out and have a glass of wine together in
Yay!
Public.
Your own wine, even.
Yeah, we can do it at the winery, but now we can go and do it for real.
Excellent. Yay. I love that. Mapabala's in the studio. Let me take a break. Mapabala.
Yes.
Did you get a chance to sleep between the now and the last time I saw you?
You know what? This is one of the longest nights of sleep I've ever gotten since we've been following each other on the radio. Because I was so dead tired. Because on Thursday night, we took the kids to see Star Wars at 10:15.
Oh, we didn't even talk about Star Wars.
We didn't
talk
about
Elliot's
Star Wars.
Gone. We can't even talk about Star Wars with Elliot.
Oh, no.
How did you like it?
I saw it.
I liked it. Now, I didn't read anything about it. When it was a movie I really want to see, I tried to avoid everything at all costs.
Okay.
But I saw that like Michael Phillips had given it 3.5 stars, and like all the headlines I'm seeing on social media were about
sure,
this
Dean
could be the
gave
best
like a B,
one.
Like he gave it, Dean gave it an A?
I think an A or an A minus or something.
Yeah.
So everybody's being incredibly kind to it.
3.5.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah.
I don't exactly know where all that's coming from. It's really good. I really enjoyed it. It's funnier than most Star Wars movies.
Yes.
But... I wasn't like, oh my, this doesn't beat Empire Strikes Back.
It's- so let me ask you a question without any spoilers whatsoever. At the end of the movie, did you feel a little unsettled? Like, it wasn't just that it wasn't resolved, it was a little unsettling. In our screening, because I saw it at a corporate event at 7 o'clock, and on our screening, you know, normally at the end of the movie, you know, especially when a premiere or something like that, you get big applause, everybody's like, woo!
Yeah.
And at the end of the movie, people are like,
that's how I felt.
Doesn't leave you on a huge.
Do you remember, Harry Potter? One of the books was split in half. Nobody. All right. The last story
is a two-parter.
It's a two-parter, and at the end of the first parter, I was like, huh. Okay. So maybe that's how this is.
Well, it was kind of like the end of Empire Strikes Back.
It was.
Because there were so many unresolved plot twists.
Well, there you go.
And so, I mean, I think that's why you kind of felt that way. I thought the movie was quite good.
You're in a lurch a little bit.
Yeah. I thought the movie was quite good, and you're absolutely right. Definitely funnier.
I'll tell you this. It's the most... what I love about Star Wars now is it's incredibly diverse, that women are leading the way.
Right.
Like, this was the most diverse Star Wars movie ever. I would say.
And you don't mean just because of the aliens?
No, I mean, you know, that the characters are a lot of times female, a lot of times minorities.
You know what I think? This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
They've
Chicago
really gotten you, Patty.
She's got 23 seconds to spare.
If you're an Amazon They've Echo user, just say play WGN
scared.
Radio.
She's nervous. She's hearing things. She's seeing people.
Just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn.
That's where they're going to get to.
Just her. Saying, what's coming up on your show, Matt?
I have no idea. No, actually, one thing I do know that we're going to... First of all, we're going to talk about... I never got to this last week. Daylight savings time. There's like five states thinking about doing away completely with daylight savings time. I don't know why I find that interesting, but I
think it's...
Because I grew up in Indiana where it was really messed up when I was growing
up.
Yeah,
it's half and half, and sometimes it changes, sometimes it does not.
Yeah, exactly. I think we're going to talk to somebody. I think just got somebody overseas. I want to talk about the Olympics a little bit, whether they're prepared. This really went under the radar, but after Russia got banned... I believe it was it Nikki Haley who said the U.S. is unsure on whether they're going to go?
Yes. And then Sarah Sanders said that, we're not sure.
Yeah. That really... And
it was bizarre.
And I was wondering, and I don't know what the whole collusion thing is or is not, but it's really weird that the U.S. would say, we're not sure if we're going to go because of security, whatever. Please, if it's South Korea and he's battling with North Korea, Trump would be all over we're going to go to these Olympics and we're going to do whatever, right? That seemed odd to me.
I thought it was odd as well. I don't know if it was related to the Russia thing. I thought it was related.
It had to be. How could it not
be? No, you're right.
Trump's administration of all administrations is not going to ever say, we might not go there because we're worried about security.
Right.
How bad would that look?
It wouldn't be manly.
It would not be.
Yeah.
So we'll talk a little bit about that.
All right.
I don't know. All sorts of stuff.
Excellent. It's good to see you again. I'm glad you're well rested.
Did you read the Mira Sorvino piece today or read about Mira Sorvino?
I heard that Jackson, the producer, the director,
Peter Jackson
was told to blackball her by Harvey Weinstein.
By Harvey Weinstein. Yeah, I read that.
Yeah.
And that when she read the disclosure, that she broke down crying because she had suspected that's what killed her career.
So there's a series on USA Networks called Psych that I enjoyed tremendously. And in the last season, they had Mira Sorvino, and she was. It's funny, I didn't realize how much I had missed her as an actress and how much I had enjoyed her on the screen until I saw that. And we just watched their Christmas movie, and I remembered again. And now that the story has broken, that's another career. I mean, we don't know how many countless others there are, how many women who had so much potential, so much artistry in their souls that we will never know about.
And Selma Hayek's piece from earlier this week.
Oh my God,
amazing.
He's my monster too.
So there's all that, Pat.
I'm going to go cry in my office for a minute. And
Tell
him what a wonderful movie White Christmas
was. Yeah, I liked Holiday Inn better. So anyway, we did Semper Film Semper with film. White Christmas, but the Marines enjoyed White Christmas because there was a military element that was very genuinely wonderful. So I enjoyed that part of it. But I like Fred Astaire more than Danny Kaye.
And Roger's disagreeing with you on that? Is that where this is coming from?
The story's different. The pacing's different, Roger. I don't have to tell you about that. It's a different movie.
Roger's disagreeing. I heard the heavy breathing.
It's a different movie. Sorry. It's just a different movie. And besides...
It is a different movie.
Okay, we'll talk about it later, Roger.
Yeah, okay.
It's Matt's show now.
I know.
Time now for your news. Matt, have a wonderful evening. Thank you so much, Joe Romano, for producing for me tonight. Carry on, everybody. Eric, Susan, Dave, Elliot, all of our guests tonight. Thank you so much for joining us. Time now for your news with Roger Badish.